Only one missionary invests his whole life in an area and a tribe is ultimately evangelized. Only one statesman stands for right and a country is saved. Only one strong-willed and determined citizen says, "I stand against this evil," and a community ramps up morally and changes its direction. And, as we shall see, only woman decided it was worth the risk to break with protocol and speak her mind, and a nation was preserved. As I stated in the opening words of my introduction, the power of a woman. The Jews have been threatened with extermination. Wicked Haman has influenced King Ahasuerus with his promises. Because of this plan I have set up, it is possible for me to pour this money into your treasuries and for us to rid the land of these people who will not bow down and worship you as the king. Though it pandered to the king's pride, that plan had the makings of the worst kind of Holocaust. The Jews will no longer be in our land. We'll be rid of these people. In case you wonder what impact it had on the community, return to the last phrase in chapter 3. The city of Susa was in confusion. While Haman and Ahasuerus sat over their drinks in the palace, the general public wandered in bewilderment and confusion, especially the Jews, not unlike those in the ghetto at Warsaw and other European scenes of horror in the late 30s and early 40s. What's going on here? Why have those in authority ordered this? How much worse can things get? What terror this struck in their hearts, what fear in their minds. How can we continue? How can we fight? This was the law of the Medes and the Persians. When an edict was set forth in that era, it was final. Nobody could change this plan. Certainly no Jew. Helplessness eroded into hopelessness. Yet in the midst of all this, God was not sleeping. In his sovereign plan, he determined one person would make the difference. Again, one individual would stand in the gap. On this occasion, her name is Esther. Follow the story as we look first at the response of the people lost in mourning and weeping. The essential intervention of Queen Esther. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. Esther chapter 4, verse 1. When in bankruptcy or living with dread disease or having buried a family member or having gone through some terrible disaster in one city, people in Esther's day would commonly wear loose-fitting, dark-colored, coarse garments made of goat's hair, which hung on them like large gunny sack. On top of that, they would take ashes from the remains of a fire and throw them on themselves so they would be covered with them and appear ghastly and unclean. Sometimes they would even sit in the midst of a cold ash heap and throw the ashes on themselves as a vivid expression of their grief. People express their sorrow and mourn in different ways. In our Western culture, our expression of grief is often restrained. When President John Kennedy was assassinated, his young widow wore a dark veil as her expression of mourning, hiding her tears behind it. Often, in our culture, people sob quietly or compassionately hug those who are grieving. In the East, however, sorrow has always been expressed visibly and vocally. We have all seen pictures of great mobs as they push a casket overhead through the crowd while screaming and crying out. They cry out verses from their sacred word and they claw at the casket. They wail and they mourn. That's what Mordecai does here. He holds nothing back. His grief knows no bound. In sackcloth and ashes, he stumbles toward the gate of the palace. And he went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. Esther chapter 4, verse 2. Mordecai knew he would not be allowed to enter the king's gate, the gate where the king would come to meet his subjects and make judgments according to Eastern custom. Perhaps Mordecai went there, making himself visible, hoping to capture the attention of the queen. For it's doubtful that Esther knew much of anything about this edict. She lived in the secluded, highly protected environment of the harem, locked away from the concerns of the common people. But Susa, the capital, was not the only place where such demonstrations of mourning were taking place. And in each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Esther chapter 4, verse 3. It's a picture of widespread sorrow and loud mourning.